You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I was thinking while they were singing that song, I am working on a revival meeting at one of the prisons, and we can only have 50. They will only allow 50 in the service. And there's 130 wanting to come.
Yeah.
And I'm pleading with them to, would they let us have multiple services? I don't want to look at 80 men and say, you can't come.
Yeah, right.
When they want to come.
Amen.
And you know what bothers me? We've got men wanting to come and hear the word of God.
Yeah.
And they can't. And then there are people tonight that can come and hear the word of God, and they won't. I love our country. I love America. I thank God for America. I believe we live in the greatest country on earth. If you don't believe that, then why are people from other countries trying to come here? We do live in the greatest country on planet earth. But we're in a mess. And we're dropping quickly. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, please, and go with me to Acts chapter 1. It was read just a few minutes ago. But in Acts chapter number 1, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 6, the Bible says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to set up your kingdom right now, Lord? Kind of like I hear people say, well, when's Jesus coming? When's Jesus coming? I want to hear more about the rapture. I want to hear more about the second coming. I want to hear more about these things. And I'm not against prophecy by no means. But let me say, I don't know when Jesus is coming. I do know that he's coming. But he has something he wants us to do until he comes. And here the Lord looks at them in verse 7, and he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put into his power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, missions is often spoken of as going over there, but what about right here?
Amen.
America's not only a sender of missionaries, she has now become a mission field. Churches that once reached the nations are now closing their doors. The need of the hour is not a political revival, but a spiritual awakening. We're becoming like the United Kingdom, who once had their churches filled and were sending missionaries around the world. And today, most of those churches have closed their doors and became libraries and museums. And the United Kingdom once sent missionaries around the world, but they forgot their own country. We must do both. Billy Sunday once thundered, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. If they perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees. Let not one go unwarned and unprayed for. D.L. Moody said, the problem with a great many Christians is that they are waiting for a revival. Why not make one? If you will burn, others will come and watch you burn. You see, we must ask, who will go to America? Who will take the gospel to our towns? Who will go into our prisons? Who will go into our schools? Who will go into our neighborhoods? Who will go to our government? Who will go to the people around us? Who will go to the bus routes and the Sunday school? Who's going to do these things? America is sick and bleeding and morally collapsing before our eyes. Pastor showed us a video. I have been there. I have walked through the Akron Baptist Temple.
Right.
And I saw the graffiti on the walls. And my mind went back to what a great church that was at one time. And now it is nothing but simply a place filled with graffiti and homeless people living inside. I think about the great Highland Park Baptist Church. My wife and I here recently went through Chattanooga, and I said, I want to drive by the Highland Park Baptist Church. And as I drove by there, my heart broke when I saw the Chauncey Goode Auditorium that's been torn down, and it's nothing there but rubble now. Abraham Lincoln said, America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. And we see that destruction today in broken homes, in drug addiction, in crime, hopelessness. The Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I look here and I find the atrocity of abortion in our country. Since 1973, over 65 million babies have been aborted in America. Proverbs 6:17 declares that God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Amen. You think about those little children. May I remind you, life begins at conception. Those are real babies. Those are real children. And there are families out there that would give anything if they could have a child. And then you have families here that are destroying their life that is inside of them. I heard it said one of the most dangerous places in America is in the womb of a mother. I see the LGBTQ plus confusion. Over 7% of the U.S. adults now openly identify as LGBTQ+, with higher numbers among young people. But yet, according to Scripture in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, the Bible calls this lifestyle vile affections and describes the shame and judgment that they bring. I see the transgender turmoil. We live in a day when children are told that they can choose their own gender. They can mutilate their bodies and rebel against the Creator and never even tell their parents about it until it's too late. We have people out there now that are pretending to be animals. And not only do we have to wonder what type of restroom people are going to go to, now you have some people asking for litter boxes to go to. Who would have ever thought this would happen in America? May I say, this is not science. It is spiritual deception. Amen. And the Word of God says in Genesis 1:27, male and female created He them. Case closed. I find the school shootings in America. So far this year, there's been 9 incidents with deaths and injuries. Who would have ever thought when I was attending school, we didn't have police officers at the school. And now you have to have not only police officers, but you've got to have metal detectors and everything else just to secure the facility for our children. So far this year, our drug overdoses in America are 213 per day. Not per month, not per week, per day in America. Suicides this year, 49,316 people took their own life. Because they believe life is not worth living. May I say to you, every life is important to God. And Jesus died for everyone, no matter who you are, where you came from, what your nationality is, how rich, how poor, it doesn't matter. Jesus died for all mankind. I see our political demise. Our leaders argue more about power than they do about principle. They argue more about money than they do morality. They argue more about having control than having good character. The Bible says when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. We live in a day of spiritual carnality. Churches are full of religion but empty of repentance. professing Christians pursue entertainment more than evangelism. I've been trying to figure out why it is we're losing our young adults. I go into many churches today and I find the elderly, but I do not find that crowd between 20 and 40. I don't see them in many churches today. And here's what I'm finding. Back when they were younger, they were sent out of the church into a certain area. And I'm all for children's church, but may I say, not all churches do it the way it's done here.
Yeah, right.
And they sent them out to places where they played and had games and they had all the entertainment and they had to do this and that and the other to keep them excited. And then when they got grown and got on their own, now they're looking for entertainment and they're looking for the games and they're looking for the smoke screen and they're looking for the music that makes them hip hop and all that type of stuff. And they have missed the true spirituality of what church is all about. We're losing that generation. They want to be entertained all the time. Can I tell you, it's not about entertainment.
Yep.
It's about being right with God.
Yep.
The Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. When a nation forgets God, God lets that nation sink deeper and deeper into sin. Someone asked D.L. Moody why he put so much effort into evangelism. He replied, "I look upon this world as a wrecked vessel. God has given me a lifeboat and said to me, Moody, save all you can. America is that wrecked vessel today." Billy Sunday once cried, "America needs a soul cleansing, a return to the old-fashioned gospel of repentance and faith in Christ." When I go into the prisons, you know what they want to hear? They want to hear preaching. They want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear watered down. They don't want to hear make believe. They don't want to hear my opinion. They don't want to hear what I think or what I believe. They want to hear, "Thus saith the Lord." And if it's good enough for the prison, it ought to be good enough for our churches today. I want you to notice, first of all, the power for reaching America. It's right here at verse number 8. The Bible says, "But ye shall receive power." The source is not my education. The source is not my name. The source is the Holy Ghost of God. If America is to be saved, it will not be by politics. It will not be by policies, nor will it be by protest. It will only be by the power of Almighty God. Only spirit-filled Christians can make a spiritual difference. We must have the power of God. When I think about coming to church, these walls are not the church. These pews are not the church. You and I are the church. And if God's going to meet with us, then we're going to have to bring the Holy Spirit in here with us, you see. I wonder tonight if the Holy Spirit has liberty in this place. I wonder if we brought the Holy Spirit in here with us tonight.
Amen.
I want you to note with me that a light bulb cannot shine until it's connected to the source of power. And many believers have the form of a light bulb, but no current of the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Oh, how we need the power of God. I don't want to ever preach in my own power. I don't want to ever go soul winning in my own power. I don't want to ever go out and try to tell somebody about the Lord in my own power. I must have the power of God. I must have the Holy Ghost of God guiding me. I must have His power giving me the words to say. I must have His power.
Amen.
I want you to notice, secondly, not only the power for reaching America, and that's being the Holy Ghost of God, I find the plan for reaching America. He says, "After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me." Ye shall be witnesses. Jerusalem was home territory. You say, "What are you getting at, preacher?" Let's begin where we are. By the way, if I won't go soul winning here, I won't go soul winning somewhere else. So let's begin where we are. Hey, let's begin in our homes. Let's get back to reading our Bible in our homes. Let's get him back to praying in our homes. Let's get back to being concerned about our children in our homes. Our marriages are collapsing. Families are breaking. Children are going astray. We need to get things going in our homes again. You see, when it comes to evangelism, our churches are no stronger than our homes. We've got to get our homes right with God. Well, if we're not careful, we'll come to church and leave and go home and have fried preacher for lunch. You know what I'm talking about? Boy, did you hear that message today? I don't know why in the world. Somebody must have told him something about me. I don't know how he found out about that. Can I tell you, when God rings your bell, be thankful. It's not that the preacher knows about it. It's that a God in heaven knows about it, and he's trying to get our attention and trying to get us right with God. We need to get right with God ourselves and get our families right with God. Number two, we not only start in our homes, but I believe we ought to start in our schools. Can I tell you tonight that Rock of Ages Ministries, we have material to go into the public schools. We have material to go to the college campuses all throughout America, but we don't have the people to do it.
Wow.
It's written. The material is there. I can make one phone call and get all the material we need, but we don't have enough people.
Right.
We don't have the staff to be able to go into the schools. Hey, we've got the material. It's already made. We just got to have somebody that'll say, "I'll go." You say, "Well, it can't be done." Sure, it can be done. I heard people say we couldn't get into prison. Now, there's a lot of different ways of getting into prison, but I like to do it the right way. I was talking with a warden one day, and I said, "Man, there's so much paperwork here." I said, "It's unreal." I said, "I just don't understand it." He said, "The paperwork is not to get you in. The paperwork is to get you out." I said, "I'll gladly do it. It'll be fine." But today, our young people in schools are confused. They are being indoctrinated. But yet they're hungry for the truth. They want to hear somebody tell them the truth. In the 1960s, Madeline Mary O'Hare fought to remove prayer from the schools. And years later, we see a generation that knows nothing of God. That's what happens when vision is lost. She didn't sit back and say, "It can't be done." One person got the Bible removed from the schools. One person. Well, if one person can get it out, one person ought to be able to get it back in. And somebody needs to stand up and say, "Hey, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to train. I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to give my life to reach young people in our public schools with the gospel of Jesus Christ." How about in our neighborhoods? How about the neighbors that live beside of us? Most of us don't even know who they are. Many of them are spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And we see them and we say hello and walk on about our way and never invite them to church. Never hand them a gospel tract. Never find out where they're going to spend eternity. We don't know anything about them whatsoever. All we know is, "Hey, you stay over there and I'll stay over here and we'll be good." But can I tell you, our neighbors need the Lord. When are we going to get concerned about our neighbors? When are we going to get concerned about our city? The drugs, the crime, the gangs, the greed, the despair. It's everywhere. Oh, people are talking about how horrible Chicago is, how horrible San Francisco is. Can I tell you, people just need the Lord. Let's quit complaining about it and go reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and let Jesus change them inside out. Then there won't be the corruption. There won't be the crime. There won't be the drugs. There won't be the gangs. There won't be the greed. There won't be the despair, because they'll have hope, because their hope will be in Jesus Christ. And if we can do that on other places around the world, why can't we do it here? The Bible says not only start where you are, but the Bible teaches us to build as you go. The Bible says both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. Not one after another, but all at once. We need to be doing it all at the same time. You see, when a man throws a stone into a pond, the ripples begin where the stone lands and spreads outward. Amen. Evangelism must ripple from our own community outward to the ends of the earth. We must support global missions, but we must not neglect the mission field across the street. Amen. Alexis de Tocqueville, the French historian, visited America in the 1830s. And he wrote this. He said, "I sought for the greatness of the United States. It was not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness that I understood the secret of her genius and power." If America's pulpits grow cold, America's greatness will wither. America's spiritual healing begins with local churches proclaiming the Word of God. But if we're going to have a revival in America, churches have got to start having services again. In 2019, pre-COVID, statistics show only 3 in 10 churches had a Sunday evening service. Today, it's even less. Out of those who had Sunday evening services, only 1/3 of the congregation even attended. Here recently, Charlie Kirk was assassinated. And I'm not trying to belittle this by any means. Please do not take it that way. But this is what I heard. I heard that people were proclaiming that our country was having a spiritual revival. Yet I did not hear of any churches starting their Sunday evening services back up. As a matter of fact, one lady who attended a church service said she would never go back to that church again because the pastor did not mention Charlie Kirk. And again, I'm not trying to belittle this by no means, but I didn't come to preach Charlie Kirk. I come to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Bible says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." It's not about this man's death or that man's death. It's about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who sought me. Jesus is the one who saved me. Jesus is the one who sanctified me. Jesus is the one who secured me. Jesus is the one who sealed me. Jesus is the one who satisfies me. Jesus is the one who strengthens me. Jesus is the one who sustains me. Jesus is the one who shelters me. Jesus is the one who shields me. Jesus is the one who shepherds me. Jesus is the one who supports me. Jesus is the one who surrounds me. And it's Jesus, He's the one who has sent me to go and preach the gospel to those that are lost. I want you to notice thirdly tonight, the people for reaching America. He says here, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." Ye shall be witnesses. How can we win the lost to Christ in America? Well, first of all, this call is to every Christian. Every believer is called to be a witness, not just pastors, not just missionaries, every single one of us. So let me ask you, who will go to the nursing home? Who will go to the prisons? Who is willing to go to the government offices? Who is willing to go to the trailer parks? Who's willing to go to the homeless? Who's willing to go to the big city? Who's willing to go to the small town? Who's willing to go to the school? Who's willing to go to the college campuses? Who is willing to go? Oh, may we be like the Word of God. Here am I. Send me. Don't just go home and say, "Well, I'm going to pray somebody goes there." Hey, maybe I'm the one that needs to go there. Maybe that's what God wants me to do. Then I see the character of a witness. A witness tells what he has seen and heard. We do not need to be a scholar. just sincere, Spirit-filled testimonies of God's grace. America needs to hear living testimonies, not religious talk. What happened in your life? How did Jesus change you? How did He make a difference in your home? How did He save your children? How did He bring your children back home? That's what America needs to hear. I want you to notice, fourthly, the passion for reaching America. The Bible says, unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see, the problem in America, I believe, is not the hardness of sinners, but it's the coldness of saints. Only the gospel can change the heart of this nation. John Wesley said, give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I will shake the gates of hell. God still uses a few to teach the many and reach the many when they burn with holy passion. What's God wanting you to do tonight? There may be some of you in here right now. God's calling you to the mission field. Quit thinking about it and surrender to it. Some of you right now, maybe God's dealing with you about going to one of these countries that's already been mentioned here this week. If God's calling you, answer the call. Here am I. Send me. I'm here. Maybe God's telling you it's time for you to go to the prisons. Maybe God wants you to go to the schools. Maybe God wants you to step up and start taking a nursing home and go into that nursing home. You see, not only do I find the passion, but lastly, I see the promise for reaching America. Matthew 28, verse 20, the Bible says, lo, I am with you always. Amen. The Lord's presence, He's there. He's going with us. He's not sending us by ourselves. He's going with us. And He gives us not only His presence, but His power. I want to do something real quickly, if I can. I need some help. Brother Everson, would you help me? I want to start a fire company. Would you help me with that? Sure. And if I start a fire company, if I start it, I'm going to be chief.
Yes, sir.
Just don't forget that, all right?
Yes, chief.
All right. I'm the chief. Brother Everson, I love you so much. But I want you to be in my fire company, but there's no fire right now. So here's what I want you to do. You know those little red trucks we got out back?
Yes, sir.
I want you to go and wash them.
Okay.
Okay? You just go over there and wash those trucks, all right? Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Brother Flood, you always volunteer for everything. Would you come and help me? Wonderful. I want you to be in my fire company. And Brother Everson, what are you doing?
I'm washing the trucks.
Good. Get them real nice and clean, all right? Good. He's washing the trucks. We don't have a fire right now. And Brother Everson's washing the truck, so I tell you what. You know that shiny pole where we slide down?
Yep.
You know, when we're up there, we come sliding down?
My favorite.
I want you to shine that up.
Yep.
Get it real slick.
Sure.
Okay? You go over there and do that for me real good. Brother Everson, what are you doing?
I'm washing the
truck. Okay, I just want to make sure you're still doing it. All right, you're washing truck. And Brother Flood, you're all right. You're shining up that pole. Good, good, good. Amen. Let me see here. I got a good one for you. Come on up here, my brother. Come on up here, my brother. I'll tell you what. Brother Everson, he keeps slacking off. But he's shining, he's washing the truck and brother. You know what? You look like a guy that would be good at making the beds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I bet you do a real good job of that at home, don't you? Yeah, yeah, I bet so. So I tell you what, there's no fire right now. I just want you to go make the beds. Would you please? All right, just take care of that. Very, very good. Brother Flood, how's it going? Good, wonderful. Brother Everson?
Very clean.
All right, wonderful. Good, good, good. Everything is going well. We've got a fire department. You see, these are things that must be done. If you have a fire department, these are things that must be done. You must keep the vehicles clean. You must keep the pole shine. You must keep the beds made. You must do that. These are things that must be done. Matter of fact, let me see. How about coming to help me? Would you do that, please? You know what? I always get hungry whenever we have a fire. So here's what I want you to go and fix the food, all right?
Oh, yeah.
Can you do that?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'll try.
Good, good. You go fix the food. All right. So, Brother Everson, you still? Okay. Okay. Well, you taking care of the trucks. All right, good. Brother Flood? Okay, very, very good. And, okay, I'm just seeing what you're doing there. I see that you got it. And over here, yeah, he's fixing the food. Good. Now, would you agree with me that these are things that must be done? Because right now there's no fire. But hang on. All of a sudden the bell goes off. And all of a sudden there is a fire.
Yep.
And when the fire bell goes off, I yell over at Brother Evertson and I say, Brother Evertson, come with me. There is a fire. And he says, I can't go. I'm washing the truck. And I go, wait a minute, I'm not worried about the truck right now. We need to put the fire out. And he says, yeah, but you asked me to wash the truck, and I'm washing the truck. I said, Brother Everett, I don't have time for that. I go over here, Brother Flood, I need you to come and help me. And Brother Flood says, I'm waxing the pole. And I say, Brother Flood, I'm not worried about the pole right now. I'm worried about putting the fire out. And he said, but you asked me to wax the pole. I did, but there's a fire right now. We need to put that out. I go back here to Brother Reamers, and I say, come on, my brother. I need you to come with me. And he says, I haven't made the beds. And I'm like, I don't care about the beds right now. There is a family that is going to die. If we do not get them out of that house that is on fire, I need you to come with me, and I need you to help me put the fire out. And he says, but I'm doing what you told me to do. I'm not done yet. I can't go. I've got one last hope. I run over here, and I say, my brother, come with me. And he says, yeah, but I've got food on the stove, and I haven't finished my cooking. And I'm like, listen, let it go. There's people dying, and they're going to die in the fire if we don't get them out. And he says, yeah, but I can't go. You asked me to take care of this. You say, what are you getting at, preacher? Hey, I'm glad we have people singing in the choir. I'm glad we have ushers. I'm glad we have people that run the bus routes. I'm glad we have people that teach Sunday school. I'm glad we have people that clean the building. I'm glad we have people working the parking lots. I'm glad we have all these things. And preacher, all these things must be done. But may I say to you, somebody's got to put the fire out and reach the people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, these other things are wonderful. And thank you, guys. You can be seated. I appreciate it. All these things are wonderful, and all these things are needed. But the most important thing you and I can do is put the fire out. Let me ask you tonight, is that what God's calling you to do? Is God asking you to get out of your comfort zone and be willing to say, I'll go put the fire out. By God's power and by God's Spirit, I'll go and do what He wants me to do. Hey, I'm not a lot, I'm not much, but I'm giving my all to Him. And Lord, here am I. Do with me what you want me to do. And if we could get God's people to do that tonight, we could see revival in America.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.